On this week's episode, hear from Johnson County Public Works and Emergency Operations Center staff. They'll tell you how the county coordinates winter weather prep and response. They'll discuss everything from snow removal to what to do if the electricity goes out. You'll also hear from a meteorologist who will let you know how much snow and ice we can expect for 2020.
Whether you live in or just love Johnson County, Kansas, JOCO On The Go has everything Johnson County. Here's what's happening and what's coming up in the community you call home.
Thanks for joining us for JOCO On The Go. I'm your host, Teresa Freed, a Johnson County resident and employee of Johnson County government. Winter weather has arrived. We've already had one significant winter storm this season, but likely more are on the way. So how does the county monitor ice and snow, and how does our Public Works Department get ahead of the storm and respond once weather starts to get bad on the roads? Today, we're talking to Johnson County experts from our Emergency Operations Center and Public Works to answer some of those questions. We also have with us a meteorologist with the National Weather Service. To start the conversation, joining us by phone is Ray Christensen with the National Weather Service out of Kansas City. Thanks for speaking with us.
Yes, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Well, we had our first bit of winter weather around mid-December. Can you talk a little bit about how that storm developed?
Yeah, so it was probably about 4 to 5 days out, we started seeing on our computer models the potential for a winter storm coming, you know, and it came in on a Sunday. So we started let our partners know that, hey, you know, it looks like there's some snow coming, but we weren't quite sure, you know, how much it was going to be. So, but as it evolved, as we got to within probably about 2 days, we started putting out snow amounts. And with this event, they initially were thinking maybe 2 to 4 inches. But then as we got a little bit closer to the event, it looked like it was going to be a little more significant. And so we bumped up the values the day before. And what ended up happening is we had two separate little low-pressure systems come through. And as you remember, probably most of the snow came on Sunday, and then we had a second little round on Monday which added another inch or so to the totals. But that's kind of how it evolved there. So,
all right, it's pretty typical that we would have snow that early, or is that out of the ordinary?
No, this is pretty typical for December. Yeah, in fact, if you remember, we had a couple smaller events back in October. Now, when we get them in October, that's a little more rare because they don't typically come that early. But you know, they can occur back even as early as October. So, but yeah, for December, that's about average for us. So.
Okay, and I know that there's a great deal of coordination with the National Weather Service and local governments, including Johnson County. Can you talk a little bit about how you help us prepare?
You know, we will, talk to our partners. We send out what's called a situation report every day. It actually goes out twice a day. We update it in the morning and in the afternoon, but this just kind of goes out to the emergency managers and to some of the school officials and other people. As we get a significant event, you know, not only will we send out these situation reports, which are actually on our website, but we'll send out emails if it's a more significant event, which this one was. We'll send out an email kind of alerting our partners, you know, hey, this is what we're thinking. So,
and how much advance warning do we typically get with a winter storm? I know, you know, people watch the news and they watch weather forecasting and see 7-day projections and things like that.
Sometimes we can see it a week out, but you know, even at that, it's really hard to predict. But usually within the 3 to 5 day range, we'll have enough confidence to at least start letting people know, hey, it looks like there's a storm coming, but we really don't know the details of how much, you know, that kind of stuff. So I would say within probably the 36 to 24 hour range is when we can really start nailing down totals and, you know, messaging that to our partners and to the public, you know, of, you know, this is what we're thinking for snow totals and the impacts. So really beyond maybe say 2 days before the event, it's really hard to really get, you know, details and give them a lot of warning. So, but Yeah, I mean, when we actually do issue the warnings, that's usually going to be within, you know, probably within 24 hours.
Okay, and I know you mentioned a little bit about last year. We had a pretty active winter season with a lot of snow. Can you talk about what we're expecting for this year?
What we look at, and we kind of go with what the what we call the Climate Prediction Center, because they're the experts on the long-term forecast. But for this year, you know, they look at patterns like the, you probably heard of the El Nino and the La Nina patterns. Mm-hmm. Well, those really aren't in effect this year. Those patterns haven't materialized for this winter anyways. So we're in what they call kind of a neutral pattern. And what that does is that just kind of affects the jet stream and where the storms track typically. There are other, I guess, meteorological patterns that we look at, but usually beyond a couple weeks, those, you know, beyond that, it's really tough to forecast those. For example, we'll look at the Arctic Oscillation, which is up in the Arctic and, you know, up in that area, and that'll kind of tell us within a couple of weeks if, you know, we're going to see some cold air intrusions and maybe, you know, possible snow outbreaks and those kind of things. But basically, what to answer your question, really what they're predicting is kind of a normal season. And so what I can tell you so far, for at least the Kansas City area, we've had about 5.6 measured out up at the airport. That's one of our climate sites, and that's pretty close to the normal. It's about a half inch below, you know, normal for basically through the end of December through today. So we're really close to normal, just slightly below, but they're forecasting kind of a normal, and our normal through say March, where, and then the snow kind of starts going away, we're looking at maybe 12 to 13 inches. You know, that's a normal year. So we anticipate we could get somewhere in that range, kind of a, just a normal winter. I don't think it's going to be quite as bad as last year. At least that's what the climate experts are telling us. And temperature wise, it's, they're kind of trending more towards a normal, but maybe slightly above normal. And that's kind of what we've been seeing lately. We've had a lot of warm days mixed in with some colder days like recently. But I think it's going to trend a little bit above normal. So,
okay, that's great information. And where can our listeners get the latest information or the best information about weather forecasts? Obviously, local news is a great resource. Any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, there are a lot of great resources. Obviously, you got the local TV news. Some of the radio news is probably good. And obviously, you have the National Weather Service. And, you know, if they come to us for their weather, we have a website that they can go to and get a plethora of information. And we also have a presence on Facebook and Twitter. So, and we keep that updated daily so they can kind of look at, you know, we post generally what's happening within the next day or next couple days. So those are just a few resources that we have that they can look at for weather. So,
all right, that sounds good. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Next, we're going to speak with Dan Robeson. He's the Johnson County Emergency Management Deputy Director. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right, well, winter just started, but we've already seen some snowfall. Can you talk about how the county responded to the storm and that we saw back there in mid-December?
Sure. Yeah, we saw our first winter storm of the season on Sunday, December 15th, and I think a lot of people will remember that's the snowy Chiefs game that we had on that Sunday. Basically, anytime we have a significant winter weather event like that, many public safety entities, including our own organization, implement their plans. And one of the things that we did on that event immediately was connect with a lot of our partners to set up a few coordination conference calls to make sure everybody had a good understanding of what the impact was going to be.
And how do we first find out that a winter storm is coming? I know you work closely with the National Weather Service. Is that typically how it happens?
That's right. We're very close partners with the National Weather Service, and our office is monitoring every day content that comes through them. And we see as things escalate, as storms come through, we have a pretty good sense based on their ongoing communication about what the significant impacts might be. And so as we see things ramp up, we start increasing our communication and making preparations internally.
Okay, and I know you mentioned some conference calls. How important is it to have that regional coordination in terms of, you know, when snowplows go out and resources are launched and all that good stuff?
Sure. Well, there's a lot going on anytime a big weather event like this occurs, and everybody has their own role and plan. But one of the things that we like to focus on is making sure that we have a good understanding of what the anticipated impact is and what people are experiencing through the event and what potential needs might be out there in the future. So we spend a lot of time making sure that we have a good understanding that everything's being implemented at the right level and pace, and addressing and communicating issues that come up.
Okay, and last year I know we had quite a bit of snow. I was living in Topeka at the time and commuting back and forth to work, so I definitely know it was difficult on the roadways and things like that. So it sounds like we are anticipating another potentially fairly active winter, or at least normal for this time of year. So how is emergency operations coordinating with our departments and regional partners just to stay on top of the snow and ice?
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, we can always expect every year 2 to 4 significant winter weather events. And so we're always talking about it. One of the ways that we continue our coordination is we have monthly workshop meetings with our various partners, and also regional meetings that we have monthly with our different emergency management partners throughout the KC Metro region. And we also go through a series of exercises that focus on winter weather and their impacts from time to time.
And can you talk a little bit about, you know, I don't know if there's some way to differentiate, but just kind of a standard response versus a disaster situation or an emergency situation when it comes to winter weather?
Sure. Well, we're always in a mode of ensuring that we're monitoring what's going on, and so that if something comes up, we're likely to get that information and act on it. But as things progress, we have different triggers that activate different actions of ours and times to coordinate with different entities. And so we're always we're looking for some of those triggers. We have a lot of data that help us better understand what the probability of impacts will be based on different products that are out there. And so that's what we stay focused on and make sure that others are aware of as well.
Okay. And so does the amount of snow factor into that, or is it something else?
One of the key triggers that we look at are the National Weather Service products that get issued. So many times there's a winter storm watch that'll tell us that there's potentially going to be a winter weather event. Winter storm warnings, blizzard warnings, ice storm warnings, those are all events that where we have triggers based off of. And so we're tuned into the forecasted amount of snow or ice and all these different impacts as well. But the biggest indicator to us, we've found, is the National Weather Service issuance of those products, advisories, and warnings.
Okay, that makes sense. And I know you're very involved in advising county leaders when there's a storm expected, and that plays into their decision whether to keep our offices open. And I know almost always the offices are open, and in the very least, our critical services are always provided. So can you talk about sort of the decision making that goes into, or the factors that go into that decision?
Well, sure. Johnson County provides critical services to people throughout the county every hour of every day. And there are a lot of people that work very hard to ensure that that can be continued uninterrupted all the time. But sometimes, due to safety, or it just makes sense for us to modify a schedule or alter things so that we can make sure that people are safe while those services continue to be provided. And part of that is making that decision of do schedules need to be modified, business offices need to be closed, and there's a lot of information that goes into that decision making. So we facilitate a conference call with internal partners, county management, public safety groups, a long list of people that come together and have a series of conference calls to ensure that we all have the right information and determine what potential impacts could there be of us staying open or not staying open. And that's well coordinated with the courts, district attorney's office, sheriff's office, MedAct facilities, human resources. A lot of people come into that and are involved with that discussion. We facilitate those meetings to help make sure that the best information is available so that the decision can be made about how we might change our schedule. But like you mentioned, the county's ready state is usually to stay open. But we want to make sure that for safety reasons, if things need to be changed, that we do that in a timely manner.
Okay, and this is probably a good opportunity to talk about Notify JOCO. That is how we notify people that there may be a change in services or hours of services and things like that, and also about the upcoming storms that they should be prepared for. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Certainly. So Notify JOCO is the county's mass notification system that does offer the option to opt in for weather alerts, including winter weather. So this is a free service available to anybody that lives, works, or plays in Johnson County. You can go to Notify JOCO.org and sign up there, set up an account. And that's one of the things that we ask everybody to do in terms of preparing for winter weather events or any type of emergency, is make sure that you have a way to receive emergency notifications. And in Johnson County, signing up for Notify JOCO is the best way to do that.
Okay, sounds good. And also, last question. I know, you know, when there's a lot of snow, people can typically stay inside, stay put until the roads are clear. But sometimes, especially when there's an ice storm and limbs are down and things like that, power gets knocked out, and that presents some challenges for residents. And so do you have any advice for people, for families, on how to be prepared for that sort of situation?
Certainly. I'd say preparing ahead of time is the best way to go to make sure that you have a good understanding of how to safely heat and light your home. If the power does go out, make sure that you have various ways to communicate with the people you need to, and make sure you have ways to get the information that you'll need. I'd also recommend that people go to ready.gov or to our website to make sure that they have a good understanding of what are those actions that need to be taken specifically in a winter weather event, to ensure they have that information, that they have good plans in place for their household.
All right, that's great information. Well, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Shifting gears now, we're talking about how winter weather impacts county roads. We have with us Public Works Director Brian Pedig and Wes Root, also from Public Works. Thank you both for being here today.
You're welcome.
All right, to start us off, just tell us a little bit about what your roles are with the county.
Well, I'm the county engineer, and our group is responsible for all the roads in the unincorporated area. And there is sometimes confusion with that, in that folks think Johnson County is responsible for all the roads in Johnson County, and we are responsible for all the areas and roads that are not in the cities. And it's hard to believe, but there's still 40% of the county that's unincorporated. We have about 440 miles of roads in the unincorporated rural area that we take care of.
Okay, that's a huge job, I'm sure. All right, and Wes, what do you do?
I'm the road superintendent for the unincorporated area. And, you know, with being the unincorporated, we take care of the paved and gravel roads outside the city limits. The cities take care of their roads, and the state takes care of the state highways.
Okay. All right. That's good information. Just talking about winter weather, how does the county plan for the winter season in terms of preparing for the weather as it relates to those county roads?
As we were talking about the counties, we coordinate with those counties, and there's border roads that we share with them, and we work back and forth as 1 mile we plow, the other mile they plow, to be most efficient in our plow routes. And we make sure that our salt domes are refilled during the summertime whenever we can get the salt. We make sure our equipment's set up and ready to go, you know, just basically preparing for the season ahead.
Okay. Anything to add on that?
Yeah, we do spend a lot of time training our folks too. They have their specific routes that they're responsible for, and we will take a day here before it gets to be winter, and they will run those routes, make sure they're familiar with it.
Okay, and it's a lot of coordination, right? And you're working year-round, so even though we haven't had a ton of winter weather so far, you guys have done a lot of work ahead of what could be expected, right?
The coordination really occurs before winter. During winter, you'd be surprised there isn't a lot of back and forth because the routes are set, and we've talked with the cities and the counties, and everybody knows what they're responsible for.
Much of the work we do year-round, chip sealing our paved roads to keep the water out, crack sealing our paved roads, that is in also preparation for the winter, because if we can keep the water out of the pavement, it doesn't freeze and doesn't create potholes.
Okay. So what's the plan for snow removal, and how do you guys decide which areas you get to first?
Our arterial roads, our through roads are the ones that we connect to first. We go out and make sure that the major roads are open. Once our arterial roads are open, we work into our subdivisions. If the snow accumulation gets above 3 inches, then we work out into the gravel roads. We'll have motor graders out maintaining the gravel roads and pushing the snow off. We have to be careful not to push the rock off and just get the snow off the gravel roads.
Okay, and so how many trucks are we talking about, and you know, the logistics of actually getting out there and doing that work?
We have 13 routes. Of those 13 routes, we have 2 bobtails, 10 tandems, and a pickup truck that we go out and maintain these routes as far as treating, plowing, and getting the snow and ice off the road.
As soon as the snow starts falling, or is it like an hour into the snowfall, or when do you actually get up and start working on that issue?
Depends on the storm. If there is a storm coming in that's not going to have a lot of rain ahead of time, we will go out and pre-treat with salt brine to help keep the snow or ice that comes in from sticking to the roads. If it's just a snowstorm and not an ice storm, the pre-treat brine will help the snow from sticking, but then we don't treat a lot of material while we're plowing, because as we put it on, then we're just pushing it right off the road. We'll just keep plowing and getting the snow off the road. Then as we get into some areas, especially at night, the snow starts getting, the roads start getting snow packed, and then we wind up treating with the salt to help loosen up that material. It's not as effective at night due to the temperatures and the lack of traffic.
Okay, and so when you have really heavy snowfall that doesn't just dump all at once but is kind of continuous, does that mean that multiple trips are having to be made, or do you guys just wait till the storm is over and then start getting some of that?
Those routes we're referring to, we have 2 crews working 12 hours a day from 6:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. and we keep round the clock, just keep running the arterial routes until they're open, and then we move into the local roads and then to the gravel roads. So we don't stop at any time. The guys just keep running continuously until the roads are cleared up.
And I'm sure that makes for very long days for workers. How do you kind of coordinate all those schedules and make sure they're getting some relief as they come in and out?
Well, we work 12-hour shifts, so we have a day crew and then a night crew. We do, like everyone else, watch the weather forecast. And when we see a storm coming in, we send our night crews home so they can try and get some rest before they get in. But it's a difficult situation for them, especially when you have events that occur week after week where they're constantly shifting from day to night times.
Fatigue is one consideration, obviously, for their safety, but then also just their general safety when they're operating equipment out on heavy snow-packed roads and also kind of competing with other drivers on the roadway. So what are some of those concerns?
Yeah, the unincorporated area is unique. The roads out there are literally the roads that the settlers opened up as dirt roads. And through the decades, you put gravel and then asphalt on them. So there are no curb and gutter, there's no shoulders, there's no street lights on the edges, there's no traffic lights, and it's difficult. Oftentimes, our drivers have to get out and scrape at the road to find out where it's at. It's not as simple as it is in the city. So there's significant issues in the unincorporated area our folks deal with.
And you mentioned some of the practicing or training that the crews go through. So what does that look like?
That's that running your routes and taking a look, looking for those markers that will help you identify where the road is, whether that's an old tree, where a house is, utility poles, things like that, to get familiar with it so you know where you are.
Okay. And as far as being on the road with other drivers, what are the things that drivers should know about, like staying back a certain distance or things like that?
Yeah, our colleagues at KDOT have a great saying, which is don't crowd the plow. Mm-hmm. You know, stay well back from them. They will throw up snows. It makes it difficult for you to see. They're dropping material, salt, on the road that can damage your car, so stay well back. I would recommend 300 feet.
Wow, okay.
A football field.
Yeah, that's a good amount of distance, but it's for everybody's safety, I'm sure. Are there things that the homeowners can do to help crews get to their driveway area, sort of? Like, what's the advice that you would give them on keeping their their driveway clear, or how do they clear their driveway so that snow doesn't pile up in a certain area that makes it difficult.
I know it's frustrating for folks when the snow plows go by, you've shoveled out your driveway and they take all the snow and just rake it right along the edge of the roadway and fills your driveway back in. The logistics of it, if we were to stop and clean out everyone's driveway, it would probably take 4 or 5 times longer to go through a snow event. So the responsibility is generally on the homeowner. If you take your snow and you put it on the downstream side of your driveway and don't put it where the plow is going to first grab it, so don't pile it up on where our truck is approaching, put it on the other side of your driveway, and that will reduce some of the snow that gets thrown back in your driveway. But we're sorry that we have to do that, but that's for efficiency to keep the roads open.
Right, that's the number one priority, I guess, when you're getting the snow off the roads. And
limiting the number of cars parked on the road and in cul-de-sacs helps us immensely to be able to efficiently go through, clean the road, and go on to the next road as having to work around a parked car.
Oh, that makes sense. So, you know, when the snow starts falling, then maybe you get those cars up in the driveway probably.
Yes, and then that's less you have to plow.
That's true too. Okay, good advice there. So back to talking about how you get ready ahead of a storm. Pre-treating the roads is an important priority too. So what's the process in doing that? Which areas are you pre-treating? What are you treating with?
We use a salt brine solution, and we'll treat all the hills and curves and major intersections. And most of the arterial roads, you'll see a chalky white lines down the road where the salt is dry. We use the brine solution because as the brine goes down, the water evaporate and it'll leave the salt behind, and it's 100% efficient in keeping the snow or ice from sticking to the road. And in the past, we had used granular material. The issue there is when you're putting it down, it bounces around, traffic goes by, bounces it around, and so, you know, probably more than 50% of that grainish material winds up bouncing off the road into the shoulders, and it's not on the road to do the work. So we're able to get better work out of the salt brine and keeping the material, or keeping the snow and ice from sticking to the road.
If you could tell me how ice and snowstorms are handled differently.
Snowstorms are pretty straightforward. We put a plow down and we push the snow off. Ice storms, depending on the event, they're a different animal. What's interesting about ice storms is just putting salt on there doesn't immediately start to take care of it. That salt needs to be grounded by traffic, and then sunlight helps activate it into a briny solution to work away at ice. So it takes a little time for that to work. Just treating it doesn't necessarily get rid of the ice immediately.
Okay, so I understand there are still gravel roads in the county, obviously, and those probably differ in how they're treated with pavement. So can you talk about that?
It's hard to believe that there's still about 140 miles of gravel roads in the county, and you're right, they are a unique animal. We cannot put a plow blade on them. It would scrape off the top rock material. We also cannot put salt on them to treat the ice, in that the salt will work down and it will make it just a mushy mess. You wouldn't even be able to get a vehicle through. So when there's about 3 inches of snow, we can take a motor grader out and lift the blade just off the surface and get off the high amounts of snow. The roads will eventually become snow packed, and what's difficult in Kansas is we experience a lot of freeze thaw cycles. So those gravel roads with the snowpack end up becoming almost like ice rinks, and they're very difficult during the winter, and a lot of people don't realize that.
Okay, so any other specific concerns residents have? How do they get in touch with you guys in terms of if you know, they feel like there hasn't been enough response to removing the snow, can they reach out to you?
For a general concern or comment, they can contact us through our online service request, which is jocogov.org/DEPT/public-works/request-service. Fill out the information that goes right to our service request, and we can track that, assign it to a crew, get out and get it taken care of. If what is happening is an emergency, contact 911. The dispatcher can get a hold of us directly. We can have a snowplow truck in the area. We have at times had to run a snowplow truck out in front of an ambulance for an emergency service to get somebody the help they needed.
Any other advice for our listeners when it comes to winter weather?
We would suggest you stay off the roads until the snow event is done. We've had a chance to clear everything out, but recognize that people need to get out and go about their business. Give the plows space. They're out there working, and it's a very difficult situation. They can't see, just like you can't see. So stay back and give them plenty of space. Don't crowd the plow.
All right, great advice. All right, well, thank you both for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
And thanks for listening.
You just heard JOCO on the Go. Join us next time for more Everything Johnson County. Have a topic you want to discuss? We want to hear from you. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at JOCOGov. For more on this podcast, visit jocogov.org/podcast. Thanks for listening.